Okay, so in honor of the upcoming Yantiv season, we are going to start the Igeres HaTshuva, written by the Belatanya. It's the third section of the Sefer HaTanya, and he refers to it as a letter of tshuva. It's a little bit different than in style, it's a little bit different than the other sections of the Tanya, and there are 12 chapters here in which he really thoroughly goes through from many, many vantage points this unique mitzvah that we have the opportunity now in the month of El, in the month of Tishrei, to invest in. His introduction is interesting. You'll soon see why it's a little bit anticlimactic in its nature. Perek Aleph. Tanya b'Seif Yuma, we learned at the end of Tractate Yuma. Shleisha chiluke kaporahem. There are three different types of kapara. Now, we're familiar with this word kapara because of, you know, this most holiest day of the year is called Yom Kippurim, and we translate correctly as a day of atonement. What's interesting, though, is that the day of atonement, that section which is called kapara, atonement comes from above. That's not our part of the deal. Our part of the deal is called tshuva. So as we start Igeres HaTshuva, we would imagine that one would focus much more, rather than on God's part of the mitzvah, which is the kapara, to wipe away the effects of our wrongdoing. Tshuva, on the other hand, is the part of it that's our mitzvah. So if anything, we would imagine he would start with the mitzvah of tshuva rather with the chiluki kapara. And the commentaries explain the reason he did this is because while it's absolutely true that our portion, our contribution, is tshuva, but we have to keep our eye on what we want and what we desire. What we want out of the deal is kapara. What we're looking for is for Hashem to restore us at least to where we started out from, and hopefully, if we do tshuva correctly, as we'll see in the later program, we could even get ahead of the game. So, therefore, he begins with the tachlis, which is the goal of what we're looking for, and that is kapara. So there's three different categories of kapara that the Gemara describes. Utshuva im kol echad, and there's a level of tshuva that goes with each one of these forms of atonement. Says the Braisa in Yuma, Avar al mitzvah saseh, if a person has violated a positive mitzvah. What does it mean when a person violates a positive mitzvah? That means that he had the opportunity to do one of the positive mitzvahs. Let's take, for instance, the mitzvah of Shema. So the mitzvah of Shema requires that a person say the Shema once in the morning and once at night, as we're learning in Daf Yomi now. And a person missed out on doing that mitzvah. Vishav. And then the person does tshuva. Is Eino Izaz Misham, says the Braisa, the person does not move from there, Ad Shemeichlin Lai, until he is forgiven. Meaning that the moment the person does tshuva for the this violation, immediately he is forgiven. However, that is in contrast to the next section, which is Ov Al Mitzvah Slaisa, say, if a person violated one of the negative mitzvahs, meaning he actively rebelled. He didn't act against the will of Hashem. Vishav, and then he does tshuva for it. Says the Gemara, tshuva toila, tshuva works, however, it hangs there until v'yem ha-kippur mechaper, until Yom Kippur comes along and atones. So, yes, tshuva works right away. But to wipe away the effects of the sin, that Yom Kippur effect, that the person can't do with their tshuva, he has to wait until Yom Kippur. Now let's see the parentheses. He asks a question, because it would seem from just the contrast of these two concepts that he's presented already from the Gemara, that a positive mitzvah, the person is forgiven right away. But a negative mitzvah, he's tshuva works right away, but the atonement doesn't take place until Yom Kippur. Well, wouldn't that suggest that a positive mitzvah is far more lenient than a negative mitzvah. Yet we know a concept as follows. That a positive mitzvah that coincides with a negative mitzvah, the positive mitzvah pushes aside the negative mitzvah. So if you have wool tzitzis and a linen four-cornered garment, the halacha provides, in the days when there was tchelis, and tchelis that we knew about for sure, that was the correct tchelis, so then the concept is meaning that the mitzvah of tzitzis comes and pushes away the thou shalt not wear tchelis. But if it's true that one is immediately forgiven in the case of a positive mitzvah, and a negative mitzvah takes so much longer, well, it seems that the negative mitzvah should be much stronger. So why is it that it seems a contrast of a contradiction of ideas? Explains the Baal Tanya, Pirish da'afagav t'linin kiya mitzvah sasei, even though when it comes to the fulfillment of a positive mitzvah, gidoyva, it is greater, the positive mitzvah is greater. And the proof is, shedoyches loisasei, it pushes aside the thou shalt not. This explains the Baal Tanya, this a concept according to Kabbalistic teaching. Why is it that the negative mitzvah is pushed aside for the positive mitzvah? That is because of the awesome power that every fulfillment of a positive mitzvah has, in that it is able to create an entirely new withdrawal from the infinite energy of Hashem into the worlds above. As the Zohar explains, that every one of the 248 positive mitzvah coincides with the 248 limbs of Kaviyochel, the Hashem Himself. And as a result, every time we fulfill one of those mitzvahs, we give life to one of these limbs. What's more, Vigamal Nafshar the Kiss. It's not only that we draw this infinite light into the celestial worlds, but for every single one of our personal godly souls, like we say every time we fulfill a mitzvah, we say, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah, that we sanctify us with his mitzvahs. And we only say that bracha by a positive mitzvah. And what that means is that every time a Jew fulfills a positive mitzvah, they draw upon themselves from the infinite energy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into their own being. Aval inyan tshuva, and therefore he says, with a positive mitzvah, since it has such awesome power, it pushes aside the negative mitzvah. What does that mean? Because what happens with a negative mitzvah is that the person is rebelling against Hashem. And what's more, as he's going to say in a moment, they create a flaw, they create a pigam in the worlds and in themselves. But if the halacha provides that the Hashem's will is not violated in such a case, that shatnez is not a problem in a case where the mitzvah of tzitzis is involved, so you end up drawing into the world this infinite light, and there is no rebellion, there is no flaw that takes place. Therefore, and he continues, v'gamal nafshoy the kiss, even on the godly soul, I'm sorry, aval inyan tshuva, but when it's regard to tshuva, and this is such an awesomely powerful thought that he's going to say now. Even though we could do tshuva for missing out on a positive mitzvah, even though Hashem forgives the punishment because of the rebellion that takes place, that we didn't read the Shema, that we didn't fulfill whatever mitzvah it was, we didn't carry out the command of the king, so Hashem does forgive that component of the positive mitzvah. The problem is that energy that we had the capacity, that we had the responsibility to bring into existence through the fulfillment of our mitzvah, we could do tshuva from today and the rest of our lives. We can no longer replace what we had the capacity to bring into existence had we fulfilled the mitzvah. Where do we see this in Chazal? And this was a big surprise to me. I thought that when we do tshuva, that it's just as if we had done the action. He says, no, that does not apply to a positive mitzvah. A positive mitzvah, the only component that we could do tshuva for is for the rebellion component. So now, if you carry this out, what really comes out of here is that every time we do tshuva, whether for a positive mitzvah or for a negative mitzvah, there's always going to be two components. Component which is equal in both is the fact that we rebelled against Hashem. Tshuva rectifies that element of rebellion. Okay, so Hashem forgives us for the rebellion. But as far as compensating, as far as restoring what happened in that regard, it's easier to rectify a rebellion that took place in the negative than it is to rectify the rebellion that took place by not doing a positive mitzvah. Because even if we do tshuva, when we missed out by not performing a positive mitzvah, we cannot restore the energy, the godly energy that we would have brought into the world had we fulfilled the mitzvah. Let's take a look at it inside. Mikol mokayim ha'or nedar v'chudu. Whatever the case is, even if we do the best tshuva, we cannot bring back into existence that energy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we could have brought into the world. U'kamayim ha'chazal, we're going to learn it soon in Daf Yomi. Alpi mo'uvis la'yuchal liskan, the Gemara quotes, what is something that is made crooked that one cannot straighten out? Zeh shebitl krishma shel arvis or krishma shel shachris. This refers to somebody who did not, who actively did not read the Shema of nighttime or the Shema of night of morning. The Av Shenizer Me'ata Likris Krishma Shel Arvis V'Shachris. Even though from this time forward, the person is exceedingly careful to read the Shema of nighttime and morning, but La'olam Ein Tshuvosoy Me'elis L'Sakein Mashabitl Pamachas. Tshuva will not help to rectify that which the person did not accomplish by missing out on that fulfillment of the positive mitzvah. However, somebody who transgressed, who did a wrong, meaning he violated one of the thou shalt nots, when a person does that, what he does is he creates a flaw, he makes evil connect, attach itself to his soul. And Oisip Gam Lamailo, that's what he does to himself. In addition to that, he also messes up stuff upstairs, Bishor Shom Mekorchei Tzava, in the source and in the root of the person's neshama, in the celestial sense, he also messes up. Skip that parenthesis. Is Lekach Ein Kaparo Lenaf, Shoy Veloy Lamailo, Hadi Yom Kippurim. So as far as the rebellion part, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives him right away when he does tshuva for violating his will. But as far as the flaw, the mess up, the soiling that the person did to his neshama, and the fact that the person messed up the worlds above, that section of it is not rectified until Yom Kippur. K'mosh Yiksev, where do we see this? For those of you who are just joining, we're on page 180 in Igeres HaTshuva. About 75% down on the page. The line begins with K'mesh Iksiv. And he brings a pasuk to prove this concept that what Yom Kippur does is not to forgive for the rebellion. The forgiving for the rebellion takes place all year long, every time we do tshuva, every time in Shemoneh Esrei we say in earnest, Hashiveinu Hashem, Hashem forgives us for rebelling against Him. But as far as rectifying, as far as making right what we made wrong, that's what Yom Kippur does. That's the concept of atonement. That's kapara. And he says that's what the pasuk means. V'chipur l'kodesh mitumas b'nei Yisrael mipshoyim. And he brings an awesome taich in these words. Lifnei Hashem titaru. Before Hashem will the cleansing take place. What is Lifnei Hashem? So normally we translate the word Lifnei Hashem, that we're all standing before Hashem. He says, no, Lifnei Hashem Daika. Lifnei Hashem means Hashem's name is the letter Yud and the letter Hey and the letter Vav and the letter Hey. And that is the creation of the world takes place as the literal meaning of that name of Hashem is Hashem is Mahaveh HaNivroim. He brings everything into existence. Now the person went ahead. By doing an Avera, the person messed up the world, meaning the Pigam, the flaw that we've created, takes place in these four letters of Hashem's name. If we want to rectify it, what's the mechanism? Says the Pasuk, Lifnei Hashem. The gift of tshuva is that Hashem allows us in our tshuva to go back Lifnei Avaya, to go back even before these letters of the formation of the world come into existence. So we appeal to such a high place in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol that it's Lifnei Hashem, literally meaning not only before, like in front of, but before in time, before in place, in an earlier stage of Hashem. Ulechein ein lilmen mikam shum kulachas v'shalom b'mitzvah saseh v'frat b'talmud Torah. He says, we dare not learn that due to the fact that the Gemara in Yuma says that since we can do tshuva for a positive mitzvah, and the moment we do tshuva, Hashem is meichel, that would seem to suggest that we could somehow play around and be more lenient with positive mitzvahs, because negative mitzvahs, we have to wait around for Yom Kippur to atone in order to get tshuva, a full tshuva. So that would suggest that a positive mitzvah is more lenient. He says exactly the opposite. The reason Hashem forgives for a positive mitzvah is that only a very small portion of the loss can ever be forgiven. The only thing we can get forgiveness for is for the rebellion. We'll never be able to restore what we could have done. As a result, the fact that Hashem is meichel us right away is because only a very small segment of it is rectifiable. So therefore, he stresses, we dare not learn from here any lenience when it comes to positive mitzvahs. V'adirabe, quite the contrary. Amar Chazal, v'itir HaKadosh Baruch Hu avodah zarah. The Gemara says that Hashem was willing to overlook even idolatry. Even though some of those averas that the Gemara quotes there involve excising a person and heavenly death, but Hashem refused to overlook the transgression of the positive mitzvah of the study of Torah. So the positive mitzvahs take on a much stronger, a much more exalted place, kaviyachol with Hashem, and as a result, tshuva for them, even though it's immediate, the component which he forgives is the rebellion. But as far as the restoration, there it is easier to restore ourselves back to default settings when it comes to negative mitzvahs, and it's much more hard to do when it comes to the positive mitzvah, because there we can never actually replicate what we would have been able to accomplish with the actual fulfillment of the positive mitzvah. What's the third? We said that there are three sections. Continues the Valtanya after the parentheses. Of Ral Krisusim, he says, Bezdin, if a person violated any of the mitzvahs of kares, like eating blood, unsalted meat, involves kares, or forbidden fats, and other averas that involve kares, or Mises Bezdin, or those things that Bezdin puts one to death for, like the violation of Shabbos and other such things. Tshuva of Yom Kippurim Toilin. So there, even Tshuva and Yom Kippur, it hangs in the balance. The Yisurin Mimarkin, and anguish and pain atones. Pirish, what does that word Mimarkin mean that the Gemara uses? He says, it is Goymin and Akapara. Those things, pain and suffering, is able to conclude the atonement. It's the language that we find vis-a-vis washing out vessels. It cleanses the soul. It gives us a whole different perspective on Yisurim, on suffering. Suffering is designed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to cleanse us, to wash us, to wash away the flaws and the schmutz that we've made. Because this very language of Yom Kippur is a language of cleaning, it washes away the stains made by our averus. Now with this, we're going to need to understand why it is that in Tefillah and Yom Kippur, at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, we ask Hashem to wipe away the effects of our sin, and we say, but not with suffering. So we'll soon see what it is that we can do that would be in the place of suffering. So here he's saying that suffering plays a major role in washing away the after effects of Avera. So how are we supposed to, if we're asking Hashem not to give us suffering, what can we do instead? Shenemar, and he quotes a pasuk. Again, this is the Gemara speaking now. Upakadati b'shevet pishoam ubenegoim avainam. I will take account with the stick their sins, and with negoim, with it's a very, the negoim are the in the psukim we have it in the case of leprosy, but there's all different types of affliction. Nega is affliction. That's how Hashem gets rid of the avoinas. Ad kan l'shon ha-braisa. This is the end of the braisa. So we have these three categories for which tshuva helps. We have the positive mitzvah where the person is forgiven immediately. We have the regular negative mitzvah where the person is forgiven immediately, but the after effects are not cleansed until Yom Kippur. And the third category was those serious sins which would otherwise involve a death penalty or kares, and those things require suffering to atone for them. So Baal Tani goes on to explain. V'hinei mitzvas ha-tshuva, this is absolutely critical for the understanding of what is the mitzvah of tshuva. V'hinei mitzvas ha-tshuva min ha-Torah, biblical tshuva. The mitzvah of tshuva itself is one thing and one thing only. Hi azivas ha-chet bilvad. Tshuva means stopping to do the avera. It does not mean regret. It doesn't mean confession. It doesn't mean fasting. It doesn't mean mikveh. It doesn't mean any of those things. Tshuva means I stop doing the rebellion. We see this halachically. We have the famous Gemara where somebody says, I'm marrying somebody on the condition that I'm a tzaddik gomer. So the woman is mikudeshes. Why? Because maybe the person had a thought of tshuva. Okay, but he didn't fast. He didn't say vidui. He didn't go to the mikveh. How can he be a tzaddik gomer? And that teaches us that the mitzvah of tshuva itself, to restore the person to being a tzaddik, all that is required is a commitment to stop doing the avera. Now that's not to dismiss all the other things. It's just that's not the mitzvah of tshuva. The mitzvah of tshuva is the acceptance upon oneself to abide by Hashem's commands. Dahainu, he says in very clear terms, sheyigmar b'liboy, that the person comes to a serious understanding, b'lev shalem, with a full heart, l'bal yoshev oid l'kisla, not to return to the foolishness, limroid b'malchusa yizbarach, to rebel against Hashem's kingdom, v'lo yavir oid mitzvas ha-melech, the person makes a commitment that he will no longer transgress the commands of the king, chas v'shalom, hen b'mitzvas ha-sei, hen b'mitzvas le'sasei, whether it is in the positive mitzvahs or in the negative mitzvahs, the person makes a full commitment to abide by the commands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Interestingly, this is a little bit different than some Rishonim explain, that tshuva is particular to that avera. So if a person transgresses, they eat something not kosher, we, our understanding of tshuva up until this point would be that they make a commitment not to eat treif. He is introducing, the Baal Tani is introducing it, that that's not adequate. Tshuva means I accept upon myself the commands of the king, in whatever form they come, positive mitzvahs, negative mitzvahs, but it has to be a full commitment to Hashem's commands. V'zeu ikar, six lines in, on Daf Tzadik Aleph. V'zeu ikar pirish loshen tshuva, that's the main interpretation of the term tshuva. It means loshuv el Hashem, to return to Hashem, b'chol libay, b'chol nafshay, with one's entire heart and soul, la'ovdai, to serve him, v'lishmar kol mitzvaysav, and to keep, to guard all of his mitzvahs. And he brings three psukim to prove his point that all it means is to return, that the other components are not critical to the definition of tshuva. Let the wicked person neglect, leave alone his ways. And the sinner should leave alone by his thoughts. Just return to Hashem. In the parasha we're going to read right around Rosh Hashanah time, it says, "Vishavta ad Hashem lekacha, return to Hashem, vishamata bekoilet, to listen to His word." Or the pasuk that the Navi brings, "Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem lekacha, hashiveinu Hashem elecha." All of these suggest that tshuva means returning to the word of Hashem. V'loy kedas ha-hamayin, and unlike the popular opinion, she'atshuva he hatainis, that tshuva, the main component of tshuva is fasting. The Derech Pikudecha from the Bnei Yisalschar, in his introduction, says as follows: the vast majority of people make the mistake of thinking that tshuva is the suffering, the torturing of oneself. You should know, my friend, it is a terrible mistake. The only thing Hashem says in tshuva is, He says, to regret what a person did and to accept upon himself going forward. Slightly different, but the same theme. Continues the Baal Tanya. Now, v'afil misha avra krisas misas bezdin. So now, what do we do with what it seems as a contradiction to this thought? You're suggesting that tshuva means just returning, and it doesn't require fasting and rolling in the snow and putting leeches on one's body. Even people who have violated the most serious violations, where we said earlier, the Gemara said that the person's full atonement requires suffering, so doesn't that suggest that tshuva requires suffering? So he says, no. That means that when Hashem wants the person to be cleansed from his averis, Hashem will bring the suffering. Hashem says, I will deliver the person, the yisurim. What does that mean? That means as follows. Just as we said in the introduction, when the person's tshuva is accepted by Hashem, meaning the person did everything he needs to do by making a serious commitment, b'shuvay al Hashem, when the person fully returns to Hashem, b'chol libay v'nafshay, with his whole heart and soul, me'ahava, out of love for Hashem, azai, in response to that, b'yisarusa d'lisata, in response to the person's arousal from above, his reaching out to Hashem, ukemayim aponim alponim, like water reflects a person's image, isarusa d'liyela, he will arouse heavenly mercy, l'oirir ahava v'chesed Hashem, to arouse above the love and the kindness of Hashem, l'marek avinoi, look at this language, it's unbelievable, that Hashem will cleanse his sins, be yisurim b'olam hazeh, that Hashem will bless the person with suffering in this world, in order that the person doesn't have to go through suffering in the world to come, to get rid of the marks and the blemishes and the schmutz that he's put on his neshama. So the person will arouse heavenly mercy that Hashem will give the person suffering, excuse me, in this world. Like the pasuk itself says, "Kias Hashem Yav Hashem Yechiyah." The person that Hashem loves, that person He will rebuke. He'll discipline. So, but it's not part of the tshuva. The suffering is not a component of the tshuva that the person needs to do. That's a reaction. It's a response from Hashem. Ulechein Layeskiru Arambam Vasmag Shum Tainis Klal B'Mitzvahs HaTshuva. For this reason, neither the Rambam nor the Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol mention at all the concept of fasting in the mitzvah of tshuva, af b'krisas amisas bezdin, even by the most serious violations. Rak, what do they mention? They mention havidui, they mention confession, Ubakoshas mechila, and the requesting, the verbal requesting for forgiveness, which is also mentioned in the Torah itself, they will confess their sins. Because that's a component, it's one of the chelke hatshuva, but it is not tshuva itself. It's a method, but it is not tshuva itself. And that which it says in the prophet Yoel, return to me with your entire heart, pitzoyim with fasting, ubebechi and with weeping. Doesn't that mean that it's a part of tshuva? He says, no. And this is where this applies to us personally as well. Hainu levatel hagzeiro shenigzera. The fasting and the weeping is only included there to nullify the decree that was decreed upon them. There was a decree from heaven that locusts would come and wipe out all the produce. So in order to nullify that decree, they were going to fast. So now he says, "V'zeu atam." That same reason applies b'chol tanias for all of our fast days. Shemisan and al kol tzora shalei tovei latzibur. All the communal fast days, that's the same reason. The Kemesh Ksibim Megillas Esther, that the purpose of the fast is to nullify a decree that would have come from heaven. You're going to ask, Umash Ksiv b'sifrei ha-Musar. That which is brought in all the Musar Sfarim. Uberoi Shem v'sefer Arikech v'sefer Chsidim Har v'tanyes v'sigufim. The numerous fasts and various forms of torture, lo'ibra krisis amisis bezdin, that people should take upon themselves who have violated various forms of violations that involve either kares or death by bezdin, obviously where bezdin is not killing the person, v'chein le'maitzi zera levatola, so too we find in these svarim that they recommend heavily that if a person emitted seed on purpose, referring to masturbation, shechayv misi bidei shamayim, which involves death by heaven, like the Torah records by erva einon, that it's a violation which is punishable by death. It has the same status as chayv krisis. So if that's the case, why there do all these Musar Sfarim, Reishis Chachma and others, recommend fasting? If fasting is not part of the tshuva. Here too he says, it is not part of the tshuva. The minute the person makes a commitment to stop doing any of those things, at that moment the person is a tzaddik. If that's the case, what's the purpose of the fasting? Hainu, the only purpose of fasting and suffering in any form is kedei linatzel ma'inish yisurim shamayla chas v'shalom. That if we cause the suffering upon ourselves here below, it is a form of prayer that the person will be saved from heavenly suffering, which could be much worse. Vigam, it also is kedei lizar izulatayr ulemayer gemar kaparas nafshay. It's also a form of speeding up the process of the atonement. So even if Hashem will send the person chas v'shalom yisurim, but if the person, in addition to that, adds his own yisurim to the mix, so that quickens the process of cleaning up the damage which was done. So there's two components here in every tshuva. Component number one is the restoration of a person to a status of being beloved by Hashem. We'll get into that in the coming prakim. And that's when a person is returned to the status of being a tzaddik. All that requires is a commitment that from this time forward I bind myself with the tzivuyim of Hashem, that I am now a loyal servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both in the positive mitzvahs and in the negative mitzvahs. From that moment on, the person has done tshuva and is restored to that status of a tzaddik. As far, however, as cleaning up the damage that was done, that is where fasting and other forms of suffering come into play. It also plays a role, just in case. Remember, he said earlier that when Hashem responds to a person with suffering, so that suffering is the result of love from Hashem, because Hashem sees that the person is turning back to Him with love. So in case the person's tshuva is out of fear rather than out of love, then the person needs to bring the suffering themselves. He can't rely on the fact that Hashem is going to respond to him in love. Just as a point of imagery, in Parshas Balak and elsewhere, the mashal is given that the terminology used by Chazal is what the reason Hashem placed us in this world is to create for him a dira b'tachtonim, a dwelling place here on planet Earth, among the low. And that is done, the Baal Tanya describes there, in two methods. The method number one, when you want to create a dira, when you want to create an apartment for someone, so the first thing you need to do is clean it up. You have to get all the dirt out. And then you could bring in the furniture. Then you could bring in the kelim noyim, the furniture and the cutlery and everything else. If we want to make a dira for the king, so there are these two components. There's the mitzvahs loisaseh. There's the cleaning up, making sure that we're not filthying up Hashem's world. The second component is by enhancing and beautifying it with beautiful things. Those are the positive mitzvahs. So when we have an image of what we're talking about here as far as being able to atone for a mitzvah saseh, so when we do tshuva, we're able to say to Hashem, look, Hashem, I'm sorry, and please don't consider the fact that I didn't bring in the various components that you wanted in your world, the furniture, the kelim, and so on. So we're able to apologize for the fact that we didn't bring it in, but the fact is we didn't bring it in. Whereas when it comes to mitzvahs loisaseh, when it comes to the violation of rectifying that which we've schmutzed up, so there, when we do tshuva, there is an added component that the yisurim and whatever else, the yom kippur and the other components that we do in the tshuva, are also able to clean up the mess that we've made. It's just an imagery, bichlal, it's a very healthy imagery to have in mind. It's why when we go out and we fulfill mitzvahs, that we have a kind of a picture of what we're doing, that the positive mitzvahs create the atmosphere, they bring in the furniture and the beautiful kelim. The negative mitzvahs are what we're called upon to do in order not to mess up and bring the dirt into our Kodesh Baruch Hu's world. Next Wednesday night, I'm going to be traveling back from...